Hi, I'm Lois Kelly, and welcome to the Agile Uprising Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Agile Uprising Podcast. I am tonight's host, Chris Merman. And, you know, there's times that you get some real superstars in the industry available, and sometimes you find a tar water. Sometimes that's what you get. You just live. You live your life knowing that tar water is in your life. I'm joined by four amazingly talented Agilists in the community representing the Women in Agile event that's coming up this year. And more specifically, we're going to talk about the Launching New Voices program within Women in Agile. So as the aforementioned Black substance with a clear substance, Jenny Tarwater, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Chris. How are you? I'm trying to decipher any of what you just said. I think I'm glad to be here or glad to be here as your punching bag, whichever the case may be. So,
listen, you're going to get me back so many times worse when nobody's listening, and that's the way I prefer it.
Actually, no, we'll get you back when people are listening. Thanks for having me, Chris.
That's fair. Jenny, I miss you, and I'm so glad that you're on the podcast. And Jenny has also wrangled in three more amazing women. With us is Laura Powers. How are you, Laura?
I am awesome. Happy to be had, and happy Jenny caught me and wrangled me.
That's one of her superpowers. She does it well. Laura, where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Silicon Valley in Northern California.
Oh, okay. All right. I feel fair. Like, we just classed up the joint a bit, right? We've got with the Texan and Midwest flair, we've got some West Coast in us. That was not a slam on you, Jenny. I saw your gestures. There's no slam on you.
Go Casey.
Yes. also with us is Linda Potter. Linda, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Classy joint.
Well, I'm not the class. Definitely not the class. Where are you based out of, Linda?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland. All right. Mm-hmm. A city I've never been to. I will make no assertions of your location.
Well, the song says it rocks, so.
Okay. There's a lot of songwriters that were on a lot of things when they made songs, so I don't know that says anything.
Truth.
and certainly not least, the last joiner here, we have Cheryl Hammond, my friend. How are you, Cheryl?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'll anticipate your question. I'm in Seattle.
Even better. Two left coasters.
That's right.
Is it still winter up there?
It's almost never winter in Seattle. We had an unusual occurrence of the season of winter here.
Meaning you had more snow than normal?
Any snow than normal, yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go. Yeah. Well, you're shielded. You're right. Shielded a little bit from the... Okay, I will go ahead and get into it. Like I said, we're going to be talking Women Agile. One of my favorite topics. I was slightly corrected. I first attended a Women in Agile event in 2016 in Atlanta, which was the first time it was at an Agile Alliance conference, but it was actually started in 2013. So it was a good bit of trivia for me to learn. So I want to kind of throw it out, no necessarily right person or wrong person to speak out first on this. So in the last year, right, what have we learned as kind of women in Agile, I guess maybe the proper group or just women in Agile in general? What have we learned in the last year? And I will, without pausing, I will throw it. Cheryl, do you want to kick us off?
I think one of the things we've learned is how much interest there is in the Agile community and among all genders to hear more about what the Women in Agile movement has to say, to get more involved in the Women in Agile pre-conference, and to support the amazing speakers that we turn out through the Launching New Voices program. Attendance at the pre-conferences has grown at every year. We typically have a long waiting list, so we encourage folks to register early, make sure that they're not disappointed, make sure that they consider the Women in Agile conference as part of their Agile 2019 travel plans. It's for most locations, it's pretty easy to just arrange a slightly earlier flight get in on Sunday and attend the pre-conference, but folks sometimes miss and then are bummed about it. We keep trying to find like what is the biggest room at this venue that we can use for the conference, and we keep filling it up. So I think it's exciting there. And then we always have great engagement in whatever type of open space or lean coffee conversations that we have. We always try to make sure the participants have a chance to talk about what's important to them and talk to each other. And then the way those conversations carry through the main conference at Agile 2019, not everybody attends both. Some just attend the Women in Agile conference, especially if they're local. But for those who attend the main conference, hearing the echoes of the discussions that we had on Sunday, as they filter through the entire rest of the week, people on stage at the main conference who mentioned something they heard at our sessions, is always really amazing and inspiring that we get our room full of about 300 people that go out into a community of 2,500 and really carry that message.
I love it. I love it. Laura, what about you?
So one of the things that I've learned through Women in Agile is you get to a certain point in your career and you're kind of figuring that there's what you start asking yourself, what is the legacy that you're leaving for the world? And not to get too mushy on it, one of the things that's really special to me about Women in Agile is there's so many opportunities to contribute to the greater Agile organization, the greater Agile community in a way that helps other people who are just starting in their careers or progressing to the next level. And, you know, you would think that it would be super easy to find those places to make those contributions, and it's frankly not as easy as it sounds. And Women in Agile has just been really amazing in terms of creating those opportunities to give back and pay forward in a way that I think is the embodiment of Agile.
I love it. I love that concept of recognizing where we are, but also helping us all take a big step forward. I know that as someone who was scared to death the first time I ever attended one of the events, because I was asking Natalie, what I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And now I'm not just, now not all of us were just showing up. We're showing up and we're participating in the conversation. I absolutely love that. So Linda, what about your perspective? What do you think we've learned in the last year?
I think to play off of what Laura said, as one of the people that was a recipient of someone like Laura paying things forward, it's pretty powerful. I mean, I'm seeing even in my own like workplace, you know, I think what's really important is, like Cheryl was saying, how we have interest from both our women in Agile counterparts and our male peers. And I think people stepping up and saying, how can I help? How can I bring visibility to this community and be a part of it in an instrumental way is, I think, really sort of phenomenal to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Jenny, I'll slightly tweak it, but as I throw it to you, you know, you've been involved almost since, at least from when Natalie got the event started. Natalie Werner, for those that don't know, kind of started the ball rolling on getting it going at the pre-conference event. So as someone who's kind of been in early and on that, like, where do you think that we've come in all, you know, since then?
Well, for me, I've really recognized, I think, that the value that this pre-conference for Agile events, the Agile 2019 being the next one, the events that we're seeing at some of the other conferences internationally, some of the meetups that have all sprung up, a couple of different things. One is certainly the power of networking. There are people that I have met in these events that have provided me, or that I provided help with, either way, on both a professional and personal ways that were completely unexpected and fantastic over the last few years. And especially when you're going into something like Agile 2019 with the huge amount of attendees, you can feel so lost. And this pre-event is kind of a way to ease into that community and spot folks that you sat around and you had a conversation with during the open space event, or you recognize as one of the proteges that we've had in the past, said they felt almost like a celebrity at the conference because so many people would come up and congratulate them, but also want to continue the conversation about the topics that they presented. And I think that that's another thing is that what's important to me about this event, this launching New Voices program that we're going to talk about, getting new voices on the stage because representation matters. And I think that having a larger diversity of speakers at events creates a conversation about different topics that is very important.
Absolutely recognize what you're saying in terms of the people you recognize. It's almost like some of the deepest conversations I remembered having in San Diego last year were at the event. And I'm just starting, right? We have barely anybody's there. And I'm having my deepest interactions with people that that actually turn into something really magical. The year before in Orlando was when I paired with a couple of writers to write an article about making room for people. And the conversations that we had about that one particular breakout room, they still stick with me today. They impact my work greatly. So
Bruce, I have a secret for you.
Okay, great.
So here's the secret. Sometimes the best networking at conferences happens in the ladies' room because we're in a line and we're waiting for, an opening, an opportunity. And what I love about this Agile is we're taking the conversation out of the ladies' room and into the main forum and including everyone in it. So
that's a line that I don't know that I'll ever be a part of. So Laura, I appreciate you encouraging that conversation.
I have a suggestion. If we could just actually have unisex bathrooms in all public places, then that would open up that discussion more for folks that can have those conversations. It's, I think, just an operational issue that we end up with these long lines in the women's. But yeah, let's think about having unisex bathrooms.
Yeah.
Then the lines will be more inclusive.
The lines. I know that it would get my gender to class up the joint a bit if we knew we weren't alone. I don't know how to make that happen. If any of the board or the program team are listening, get on it right away. I'm going to use that Laura Powers quote forever. We need to bring the conversations out of the bathroom and into the hallways. That's right. But I can see the t-shirts now. Also, I love that Jenny had to mute herself because she was laughing so hard. It's great when you can see each other.
Right. I mean, we're kind of laughing about this as if it's a frivolous matter, but it really isn't, right? I mean, this is really one of the things that we're trying to do is bring all of those voices together. And, Laura's pointing out a somewhat, ironic thing that we have these fantastic conversations when we get together, when we're in a group, and we want to make sure that we can continue those.
Yeah, absolutely. Jenny, what exactly is launching New Voices? If you were to kind of give the elevator pitch for it, what exactly is that program within Women in Agile?
Right. So the Launching New Voices program, and I'm going to just kind of narrow it down to talk about the one that's part of the pre-conference for the Agile Alliance annual conference in the U.S. But there are other Women in Agile conferences and other Launching New Voices program. This is just kind of the marquee one and the one that I happened to start along with Billy and Pradeepa for the 2017 event. And basically the impetus for this was in the Agile conference in 2015 in DC, Lisa Atkins had a dreaming session. And one of the things that many of the people in the room spoke to is the need to have a more diverse lineup at the conference and to open those doors for other speakers, maybe than the ones that we see more often. And so Billy and I went to lunch after that, kind of starry-eyed. It was both of our first Agile Alliance conference. We said, wow, what would that be like to be a speaker at Agile Alliance? Like, what would that feel like? And, you know, we talked about it over the course of the next year or so. And then in when Natalie Warner asked us to be part of the planning committee, we said we wanted to attack that problem and say, how can we help find those more diverse voices and maybe give a kind of a seminar on how to do talks. And we were sitting there looking at each other and said, wait a minute, what about actually giving a voice to those and providing a stage for them and mentoring on how to prepare a talk and how to give a talk, you know, both the psychological aspects of that, as well as, you know, the tactical pieces. And so we came up with this Launching New Voices program in which we pair an experienced speaker in the Agile space that has probably spoken at one of those larger conferences a few times with someone who has not spoken on a national stage or been compensated for a talk. And we have an application process this year for both of those. And we try to be a little bit deliberate about how we pair those folks up and give them plenty of time before the pre-conference so that they can come prepared. Yeah, we've had this program 2 years now with two or three proteges each year. We're aiming for three proteges this year paired with three mentors.
And Linda, you've been one of those speakers in the past, correct?
I have. At 2017, I was one of the new voices. I was paired with an amazing mentor, Lynn Winterbore. And she's so cool. Kind of to what Jenny was saying, you know, it's about understanding how to present your topic in like an impactful way, but it's also about understanding like the psychology behind it and what people need in order to internalize the message that you have. And I think that was the most amazing thing that I took away from Lynn is how to dig through your topic and understand the best way to deliver that message to many different types of people.
So Linda, what was that experience like for you?
It was my first venture into sort of the broader Agile community because I was very sort of cocooned by my company. I work for Highland Software and we have a small agility enablement community there. And it was eye-opening and empowering and it really laid the groundwork for what my career has become since then. And so it's sort of I look back on it as something more of like the impetus of what has pushed me forward and led me to where I am today, where I'm now trying to mentor as many people as I can. And also, trying to, like you were saying, Laura, paying it forward and to make sure that even in my own workplace, there's a space for new voices and for women in Agile community as well.
So you feel like that enabled you not just as a speaker, but also as a mentor?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I learned not only from Lynn as my assigned mentor, but I sort of latched myself onto Jenny and Billy as well. And just actually, I think it was you, Laura, at one of your conferences, one of your talks, you said that you love coming to these like Agile Alliance sort of events because you get to reconnect with your tribe. And I found my tribe when I first became a part of this Women in Agile event. And in fact, it was so, yes, I love you too. I got a big heart sign from Laura.
That's right.
It was so important to me. Like what I got from that experience was so important to me. I wanted to make sure that I paid it back to the next group. And so I've now become a part of the Launching New Voices sort of program team to help empower the next group of us as we come along.
God, that's so awesome. Yeah. It's amazing. Like just this, like it gets a ball rolling in your head. I'm with you in that before I started coming to the events, I didn't even know I had a tribe. I mean, just to even discover that a tribe exists, that there are people located all around the country, right? So, I know Jenny and Cheryl a little bit better than the other two of you, but it's so funny to be able to explain to people. I have some amazing friends. They're just spread all over the place, and I wouldn't have known I had that tribe if I hadn't have shown up and just been present. there's people that get me and love me and appreciate me and that I can exchange these ideas with. I just had to show up, right? And getting that opportunity just it's one of the reasons why I love supporting Women in Agile more than anything, because I know that it had to have been in the back of you all's minds when you first started, but it wasn't one of the top three things that you wanted to do. It just kind of just happened as a result, right?
Just like the best things always do.
Yeah, absolutely. What an accidental awesome that just happened. So Laura and Cheryl, you have been mentors, right? So we got Linda's experience from being a speaker and now a mentor, right? So you, the two of you have mentored before. So Cheryl, what was that experience like mentoring for you and how has it impacted your work?
It really was amazing for me. I had the opportunity last year to work with a young woman named Farzana Orak, and she came in with just kind of a mind map of a story that she wanted to tell. We knew that, you know, I came in as a coach knowing that she had a 7-minute time slot, and I have a pretty good idea of what a 7-minute talk looks like. And she came with about a 5-page narrative of her life story and all of these anecdotes she wanted to tell. And she really just kind of wanted to tell this story. And the first time we met, I got off the call and I was like, oh no, I'm not sure how to help her. Like, she was very, very set on telling her story and telling it her way. And I had given little gentle bits of feedback. And honestly, she kind of batted a lot of them off and said, nope, that's not me. Nope, that's not what I want to do. And we talked a little bit about the timing, and we talked a little bit about having kind of a narrative arc to the talk. And I said, what is your takeaway? Like, what's your message to the audience? You can go tell them I did this thing, but what are you going to do to take the message home to them? You know, I did this thing and you can too it's really not enough. I want more. You know, how do they know that they can do? What can they do? They're not you. And a week later, we got back on the call and I'm like, okay, I don't know how this is going to go. And holy cow, she came in and did a run through of a talk that landed at about 9 minutes and had a beginning and a middle and an end and an arc and a point to it. And she said at the end, like, this is my message for everybody in the room. And I said, holy cow, this girl is on fire. And yet she's still super nervous, doesn't think she knows how to be a speaker. I'm like, she does not know what she is holding right here.
Right.
Because her story was gorgeous. It was this wonderful tale of being a very young immigrant with limited English, had some technical skills from her home country, was in, you know, a terrible, like, had suffered a lot of personal trauma. And she shares just enough of the personal trauma to not be self-exploiting, but to give us an idea of, like, this is a person who, she seems young, but she's been through some stuff, y'all. And says, here's my journey. And this is how I found my confidence. And this is how I, as a woman in tech, presented an idea to my company as an intern that they still use today.
Yeah.
And she talked about this with such passion. And when she got up, finally, when we, you know, we had all these other meetings and we refined the talk, and I had to bring Kleenex every time we did a run through. And we, you know, we're doing run throughs the night before in the hallway at the conference venue. And I knew we really had something magical in the talk that she was going to give. And I kept feeling like it had just, she'd really done the work. And she kept saying she was so grateful for what I'd done. I'm like, I didn't do this. You did this. All I did was keep telling you that you were doing it and to not stop doing it. And she got up on stage, and the thing that we forgot to do in the timings, and it's fine that we forgot, was that it did not occur to us that about halfway through her talk, she was going to get a standing freaking ovation, because she talked about how she passed the English language proficiency exam and got into graduate school.
Yeah.
And not a dry eye in the room, and everybody went nuts. And I'm like, stop the stopwatch.
So I showed up. I showed up right before the event started. And so, as everybody knows, if you show up last, like, all the seats are in the front row, kind of a thing, right? So I'm at the very front of the room, And all I could hear the entire time was just sniffles behind my head, like all the way, like sniffles echoed.
Right.
It was powerful. Yeah.
She's amazing.
And
so she had this great 7-minute story, but she's also just, for someone with no speaking experience, she was very comfortable. She felt very confident about, I have something to say. The people in this room are going to want to hear me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really killed it and got a lot of attention throughout the rest of the conference. And I've reached out to her subsequently and said, hey, there are these opportunities. I'd love to have you as a reviewer here. You know, we now see that these are people, you know, anybody who's been through this program becomes part of this network and gets known and gets opportunities made available to them, which I'm really excited about. Having her and all of her potential, not just as a woman in Agile, but as a technical woman in Agile. She is a developer. And so she's speaking about, you know, technical topics. It's really exciting. Oh my gosh, Jenny's putting up the,
yes.
How did Jenny get a hold of the visual? So we had the visual note taker in the session who did this gorgeous drawing of all the Launching New Voices talks. And Jenny's just gratuitously showing off that she has the poster. I'm super jealous.
It's a total power move by Tarwater.
That's her. So, Tamsin Mitchell graphically recorded both of the amazing talks last year. I was actually pulling it out to remember Susan also last year gave this amazing talk, and her ending line was, who is your Noah? Because she had wrapped her whole story around this lesson she had learned with her son. And it seems like every year that we've done this, I can pull a sentence that has stuck with me from each of our proteges that really makes you think about things in a different way.
It's so funny you say that, Jenny, because I've a lot of first-time speakers, and specifically a lot of first-time women speakers, they have those lines it's hard to replicate that resonance. As a speaker myself, like I don't think I'm an awful speaker, but I think that, man, if I could just bottle that fire, if I could just bottle that, like get that one line that just like sticks with you 6 months, a year, whatever later, like that's powerful. And I love that we're setting these new speakers up for success. Cause I don't know. I was not familiar with this concept of first time speakers before you all started doing it, and it's been amazing. So Laura, as you answer the question, I'm curious, what was that experience like, and also how has it changed the way that you speak after mentoring these first time speakers?
Well, I'm always looking for that power and that really good line, you know. So one of the things that really strikes me is there's the old tale that the two things that people fear most are public speaking and death. And if they have to choose, they'll be in the box rather than giving the eulogy. And what I find about this New Voices program is that it is so empowering. And I think the unexpected, delightful side benefit is it's just not empowering people to become speakers and to join the speaking community, but we're empowering badass women to do all sorts of crazy things.
Yes.
And they're stepping up in ways that we would not have anticipated and that the community really needs.
Yeah.
So in 2017, I worked with Joanna Valsing, and she had spoken in the regional area, but not on a national stage.
Right, right.
You know, I remember our first coaching session was all of this, no, I can't, yes, you can, no, I can't, yes, you can, this is too much, this is, you know, all of the fears and all of that sort of.
I can hear the conversation playing out with Joanna now, yes.
Yeah, and a similar story to what Cheryl said, she just knocked it out of the park with this poise and this grace and this, and she made a point, and, you know, and then this woman has gone on to become a leader in the national, if not the international, Agile community. She's a board member for Women in Agile. And, you know, when I look back on it, I was talking to Jenny earlier today, and I said, you know, in reality, I don't feel like I did very much. Joanna had her toes curled around the edge of the pool, and she just needed me to give her a good swift kick in the ass and push her into the pool, jump in, and do a couple of laps with her. And then she goes, oh, this pool might be a little bit bigger than the other pool, but I can handle this.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And go ahead.
I think it's such a great point, because I talked a little bit about this natural brilliance that both of our speakers that we worked with shared, but I want to make sure that anybody who's listening, who's considering being a new voice, understands that neither of those people thought they had that coming in. They did not see that in themselves. We helped them find it, but you don't have to be sitting home on your couch thinking, I don't have that perfect zinger one line that everyone will remember. Yes, you do. You just need somebody to tell you what it is. And Carol, we want to get those people coming to us.
That is so exactly what you said. Like I can almost remember the moment when Lynn helped me recognize this. Like, I was like, I have this idea and I kind of want to do something with it, but I don't really know how. And I just sort of vomited a whole bunch of information on her, you know. It's interesting that both you and Laura said, you know, like, I didn't really do anything. And of course, Lynn said the same thing to me after I gave my talk. But I think that's the power of you guys as great mentors. You can take those of us that just maybe need that extra push and the guidance of someone that has done it already to push us finally over the edge so that we feel that power to be able to do something great.
And
yeah.
Chris, you asked how has it changed me? It has reminded me to be authentically me. And I am an emotional person. And the opportunity to do this a couple of months after that, after Agile 2017, I spoke in a really large place for in front of about 600 people about something that I'm very passionate about. And on the stage, I got choked up enough that I had to like take a moment. And in the past, I would have made that wrong because women don't do that. It's not cool, blah, blah, blah. And what I'm in touch with now is it's important for us to be authentically who we are. Your voice counts. It's time to speak up. Be you. And when you are authentically you, what comes through will be the right thing. And it will touch people in ways that you cannot imagine. You know, we're throwing pebbles into the pond all the time and creating ripples. And the funky, freaky, weird-ass thing for me is to go to an Agile Alliance conference and have somebody come up to me and say, I heard you speak a couple of years ago and it really impacted my career. I took your idea. I did something with it. And that's I don't care if we ever get compensated for speaking at an Agile conference, because that's compensation enough for me.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Laura. Like that's really that impacts me, because it's a reminder every time I get on stage. And for the record, getting on stage means you're teaching a class. It means you're facilitating a retro. It could just mean you're in front of your family, right? Yeah. Like just that reminder of don't forget who you are, right? And that comes from, I only know this because I've done the work in the last year with my life coach, that understanding where you are is the best way to be able to appreciate and acknowledge that it's okay, right? Mm-hmm. But if you've done that work, if you know where you are, you know wherever you are, whatever your place is, like that's when those lines that all of you have mentioned, the ones that stick with us all, that's where those things come from. It's not from preparation. It's not from I'm going to say it into a mirror 150 times. It's just going to come from I'm just going to be me. And those lines just kind of happen. And then all of a sudden it's getting tweeted and retweeted and, you know, your picture's up there. And we all, you know, some of us may not know what that feels like. And for the record, it's not always, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. But that's that part that connects with people is that understanding. So I love, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. So I guess kind of taking a slight step back from this, so we're talking about these launching new voices, right? We're talking about making room for people that don't normally get that room made for them. I love that we do that. as an industry overall, I think that the agile industry has, you know, in our little corner of the tech world, has taken a lot of steps forward in the last few years with the updating of the code of conduct and the, you know, making the designated safe partners while we're at the event. I just remember when you're getting handed a purple pin and goes, this means you're safe. So don't, like, be safe for people kind of a thing. So doing those things, right? That's part of what I feel like the Women in Agile movement and this Launching New Voices program has installed, right? So if we look at overall, right? So we've talked about what it means for us individually, but why is this making room for new voices and mentoring these new voices? What do you think it's doing overall for the industry a few years into doing this? And who have I now started with? Oh, Jenny, raise your hand. Go for it, Jenny.
I want to raise my hand a little bit on this one. When I first got involved, I wasn't sure what the problem statement was. But I knew that if I wasn't part of the solution, I could potentially be part of the problem. And over the last few years, it's kind of solidified a little bit for me. I now have this habit, which I almost wish I didn't have, except it's important. Whenever I'm in a conference or a meeting room, I start counting what I can see, at least from a diversity perspective. And there's definitely some trends that I see. And I don't want to name names here, but there's a couple of gentlemen speakers that I've called out just one-on-one with them lately and said, you know, I went to your talk and I looked and it was like less than 5% non-white men. So you have this important message to deliver, and there's something about the way that it's either getting marketed or talked about that is preventing folks to come and hear that. And it's, you know, in both of these instances that I'm thinking of, they are great people who had no ill intent whatsoever. And so I know that just representation matters and being more aware of these things can help lift everyone up, right? And so, just having some of those conversations has done some things to help them change maybe some of the titles even of their talk to make it more inclusive to bringing in other audience members. And I tend to think that folks from less represented groups might do that a little bit more naturally in the way that they create their talk, the way that they present it, the graphics that they may use, et cetera, et cetera. So that lifts everybody up and brings that diversity of thought into the community to better represent the end users of all the work that we all do.
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to think of new material to develop. I do think that your point is valid in that if I were, and I honestly, I kind of had a thought about this a while back and I haven't done a lot of work in it. So what you're doing is prompting you, Jenny, to remember, hey, it's okay to develop materials with others that don't look or sound like you, right? Just like we want our teams, right? We want our teams to not look or sound like us, right? That we want our software made by people that don't look or sound like all of us, kind of a thing. If I can create my talk with someone else, then we can both own that talk together, right? We can both submit these talks to wherever we choose to. And we know that the material, like the ideas, are more diverse. And it's not just me, the bald white dude from Texas that says y'all a lot giving the talk, right? It's a diverse community, right? So I love that. I love that encouragement.
I'm thinking back to, I've been involved as a conference attendee because I'm very old now, since 2005, 2006. I'm just thinking back to an early, roughly agile themed conference that I attended. And one of the marquee speakers from the stage was just riffing on something that he was talking about in his talk. And he said, you know, guys, because our wives and girlfriends, am I right? And everybody in the room laughed. And I looked around and I thought, because we as speakers tend to react to feedback, right? We're going to throw these lines out. And he got a huge laugh out of the room. And I looked and I said, yeah, there's a single digit number of women in this hundreds of people auditorium. Mm-hmm. And so he got no feedback back to him telling him, I felt like he was saying I didn't belong in his room. He clearly did not see me and didn't understand that I was there. And I thought, as a speaker, if I just visualize the room and think about who am I talking to, if I think women belong in that room, people of all genders belong in that room, people of all relationship statuses belong in that room, mm-hmm. what am I saying to them? Just the ad lib lines that come to mind for me are different because I recognize that there are these different people in my room that I need to speak to. And yeah. I loved your idea, Chris, of saying, what if I got together with somebody who has a different perspective from me in preparing the talk? How's that going to change my way of thinking? And what am I priming my brain to do so that when I get in front of those folks, I am delivering a talk that I might not even realize how much more inclusive it is than it would have been when I did it 8 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't make us any more enlightened or woke for doing it. It just means we're willing to be aware. We're willing to acknowledge and understand. And I can't even begin to describe what it's like for me as a male to hear these voices, because I mean, frankly, I wrote an article for the Agile Alliance on the events a couple of years ago, and I wrote a list. I literally listed every woman in the Agile industry that had had that I can say, you taught me this, I learned this from you, I'm better because of you. And I was done with the list, and there was 15 names on that list. Like it probably was more than the men. I don't deserve a badge of honor for that. It just means like just by having that awareness, we know we've taken a step forward, kind of a thing. So Linda, in your opinion, how are we moving forward?
I think the inclusion of new voices in the event itself gives people sort of permission to become a part of the group. So I obviously was able to network with all these amazing women, right? And then I took a few coworkers to a regional conference where we ran into many of them. And they were like, you know, I never would have felt comfortable trying to join a Women in Agile group if I didn't know that part of what they were built on was including these new voices and getting these new opinions and points of views as a part of, like, you know, their foundation. So I think it gives people permission to engage when they know that part of everything that we're doing is to have this diversity.
Yeah, absolutely. Laura, what about you?
So one of the things that strikes me, Chris, is going back to the idea that we are a tribe. But we're a kind of a weird tribe because we come together periodically through the year and meet together, share ideas, drink a little bit for some of us, Jenny, and, you know, have these amazing conversations. And then we disperse out into the greater business world. So we come together and we disperse out. But as a tribe, what I think Women in Agile is progressing towards is creating a greater sense of belonging for more and more people in the Agile community. And belonging is one of the key pieces of culture. And so we are shaping and extending and growing the culture of agility. And by extension in our tribe, when we then disperse out into the business world, it makes us even stronger in terms of impacting and influencing that culture in business overall. And God only knows we need that. And so,
absolutely.
So, you know, I think that this has, you know, it's one of the butterflies whose wings flapping will start to change the course of business for the world. And
yeah.
It's a pretty awesome place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's one new person, right? One new woman that comes and realizes she belongs, right? If it's one male that hasn't come before that says, please think, please be aware, please understand, know your surroundings, kind of a thing. Like if it's just one, it makes the whole event worthwhile. And what I will say before we get into some information about how they can get involved, I would like to make an impassioned plea for those of the audience like me that are male. please know that if you're planning on coming to the event, please come. It's an extra, I mean, it's just a few extra bucks, and maybe you change your flight early. The impact that it has on your work in general by just being there, and also being willing to be part of this community and say, I support you for being here. All you have to do is show up and converse and say, how can I help? If all you do is that, you have done your job. I know that we've kind of, I think the first year it was like 10-15% males, and I think I don't know if we've gone up in percentage since then, kind of a thing. But I know we can do better. I know men can show up better for the women of our community. Just please hear me in that. There's value in you being there. It doesn't take a lot extra, and the reward is for you, right? It's for you and helping understand that you belong in this community of powerful women. Like, this is not just for women to support each other, right? Again, we heard the joke earlier. They have the women's bathroom for that already, uh-huh. Right? We are a part of bringing those voices into. And I, for the record, that was a joke. That's not just the only. We just made that reference earlier. I just want everybody to understand that we're not going to take those amazingly powerful conversations out of the hallways and the rooms. We're going to be able to bring them to the community by showing up. So please do that. With that, I will get off my soapbox. That was the whole reason why I wanted to host this, was just to say, women, I love that you're doing this. Please show up. Men, you're not off the hook. You need to show up as well. So with that, yes.
And if I could yes and that, yes. I think part of the power of what has happened in the Women in Agile events is that allies show up. Mm-hmm. But I also want to point out that although the focus of this group certainly is women in Agile, the idea of being an ally for any underrepresented group is important. And I've learned more about how to be an ally from going to the Women in Agile group for groups that aren't necessarily women, right? And so I plus one, your whole plea there to have folks that are not women also attend the event to think more about how they show up as an ally.
Yeah, absolutely. So I forget Jenny or Cheryl who was going to do this, but if you do hear this and you do feel like, A, I would love to speak. I've never spoken before and I'd love to try, or I've spoken before and I'd love to mentor, or three, you'd just like to kind of come. Cheryl, where, because Jenny's pointing at you, so you win. Where would you go to find out more information?
Okay, well, I'll cover the first two. So in order to submit to be a protege, meaning you are going to submit a short application to be one of our speakers for 7 minutes of the pre-conference and be paired with a mentor. We call that the proteges. You go to the Agile Alliance website and look for the upcoming events and look for the Women in Agile event. Luckily, that's going to be, deadline for that submission is, we're going to extend it, late breaking news here, to May 10th. Okay, so we'll start working with the mentors at the beginning of June, but get your application in by May 10th. Likewise, if you want to mentor, we're looking for folks that have kind of a track record of giving back to the community and that have consistent experience with speaking at these kind of Agile events. And you go to the same place for that application. Cheryl, how do you find out about the event?
So we're super excited about the conference itself as well. And so I wanted to also kind of dovetail on the awesome plea that Chris made to attend the conference and understand how you can be an ally. And I'm going to go ahead and place a soapbox in front of me as well and talk about the Women in Agile pre-conference. So if you're not a Launching New Voices speaker, if you're not a Launching New Voices mentor, we still have 300 seats to fill in the room to talk about all of the exciting stuff that Women in Agile are doing. The theme for our conference this year is Activate. And so we're going to be focusing on things that are actionable, things that you can do when you go back out into the community, into your community, your local community, your job, your life, You know, what are the things that you're going to take back there? And not just focusing on women, but broadening that conversation to include all genders and men and women of all backgrounds, because we know that women are not the only underrepresented community in the Agile community. There's a lot of opportunity for a lot of new faces that we'd like to see. The thing I'm most excited about in the conference that's driving that message for me is our keynote speaker. I'm very excited about, we have a woman named Stephanie Thomas. She is the founder of an organization called Curatable that creates custom fashions for people with disabilities that are designed around the needs of their bodies, their lifestyles, their abilities, what they need clothing to do for them differently, so that everybody of every body type, of every kind of ability, and of course these are men and women of all colors and ethnic backgrounds, all have exactly what they need to present the image of themselves that they want to present in the world and to take up the space that they deserve to take in the world. And what's inspiring about the way that she works is that it dovetails so well with our ideas of user experience and our ideas of short feedback cycles and of going directly to the individuals affected by the choices, the design choices that we make. And so she's going to come and talk to us about how those iterative design processes help her come up with, have helped her learn how to design an entire fashion system where individuals with different body types and different needs can advocate for exactly what they need in the clothing that they need to look great and have amazing lives and careers, presenting the picture of themselves that they want to in the public. And so it's super important for these people with special needs, but it's something that there will be elements of this that all of us can take in terms of even talking back to like how Laura was speaking very, very early on in this conversation about being authentically ourselves and going back out into the world and feeling really good about who we are. So I feel like we're going to come out of this pre-conference session really fired up to go and be our very best selves.
Oh my God.
The other thing that's super cool about our keynote speaker is she got so jazzed when I talked to her about what women in Agile do that she demanded to stay for the entire conference and is going to participate in our open spaces.
Yeah.
So we'll get a chance to actually talk to her and share ideas with her. And I'm just blown away by the opportunity. So I hope that everybody listening who maybe doesn't need the Launching New Voices program for whatever reason still understands the value that there is to have out of the whole conference. I'm really excited to share it with everybody.
Well, now there's only 299 seats available because I'm getting the first one. Wow, what an amazing chat this has been, ladies. I'm so thankful for this. So I will quickly run through each of you. If someone wanted to, they said they loved what you had to say. They want to hear more about you, what you're into, hear your thing, maybe get some mentorship from you as well. Linda, how could people get in touch with you?
Probably Twitter be the easiest way. Linda K. Potter.
All right. We'll make sure we can put that in the show notes. And then, Laura, what about you?
So I'll follow Linda's lead, and I am at Laura Powers on Twitter.
Laura Powers. Okay. And Jenny?
Following the trend, Jenny KCMO, at Jenny KCMO. I think I still have a LinkedIn account, so that's under Jenny Tarwater. Message me there too.
That's right. And because I made the really stupid joke at the very beginning, it's spelled exactly how it sounds. Also, if you manage to find either myself or Jenny's Twitter feed, it's somewhere in there. There is a video from Lean Agile KC of Jenny dancing last year. So it's just a snippet, but it is pure gold for those of you that have nothing to do and want to surf through like some videos. So trust me when I say it's worth it. And Cheryl, what about you on the Twitters?
Thank you, Chris. Yes, Twitter is in fact the best way to get a hold of me. I am Basket Case on Twitter. It's spelled funny, so check the show notes. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, Cheryl Hammond.
All right, great. You take the vowels out, if I'm not mistaken, right?
So funny story about that. I have had the nickname Basket Case since I was 15. And as I mentioned, I'm very old. When I first went to use Basket Case as my handle online, it was in the days when, I am not making this up, the email address in front of the at sign could only be 8 characters.
Oh.
Yay, so Unix. Go Unix.
I had to shorten it, and I have used that spelling ever since.
I think that we're all 35 on this channel.
It is possible that some of you were not born yet.
I think that, you know, I think we're all God's creatures. That's it. And we're all 35. Okay.
Forever 35.
That's right. Jenny's 34 and a half. I will make sure we get all of that in the show notes. I just want to say that this is probably one of my favorite podcasts I've recorded in a while. Ladies, thank you so much for participating. Thank you for participating for the community, for helping me understand my place in the community that we're all participating in, and I look forward to seeing all of you in DC in a few months. So,
woohoo!
Yeah. So we are again the Agile Uprising podcast. I want to thank my guests Laura Power, Cheryl Hammond, Jenny Charwater, Linda Potter. Thank you for all joining us. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, we do have a Patreon account. You can also give us a review rating that also helps us make sure that we're seen more. If you want to get more information, you can go to agileuprising.com. Man, this is fun. Have a great one, everybody.